The annual employee viewpoint surveys show the federal government is slowly improving in one respect, namely how fair and inclusive employees think management is. With more on how the successful agencies do it, Mallory Barg Bowman, research director at the Partnership for Public Service. And Mallory, I guess maybe the first question is, what are fairness and inclusion in the first place?
Sure. Good morning, Tom. So one of the things that the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey does every year is breaks down the data by gender and racial categories. It breaks it down by age. It also this year provided data on LGBT employees, employees with disabilities, as well as veterans. So there's an opportunity really to look at the data, you know, from a variety of different cuts. One caveat I'll offer there is if you look at those data right now, the scores tend to be more positive when you look at the demographic cuts than the data as a whole. And what the reason behind that is that you see the response rates drop off when you get to the demographic questions. People also who fill out the demographic questions on the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey tend to be more positive than those who don't. So I will offer that caveat to anything that I share here. But we have seen some improvements in terms of how the experience of federal employees who are gender and ethnic minorities, people who are women, people who are LGBT, senior executives who are in any of these categories as well, you see similar trends. This is probably in no small part due to the emphasis by OPM on diversity inclusion over the past several years.
Basically, people that answer the question are those that are the recipients of inclusive policies or practices more so than the traditional white males.
We actually don't know that. We know, though, that individuals who answer the questions tend to be more positive, but we don't know who's participating in what different initiatives across the government. We know that there's affinity groups. We know that there's all types of different efforts happening in different agencies, but we don't know that the people responding to the questions are part of those initiatives.
How does all this match up with what we do know about the demographics of agencies? Because that is something that's known separate from the surveys.
Sure. So we know when you look at the leadership ranks, we had a report that came out this week with McKinsey looking at the senior executives. And when you look at the percent of senior executives who are minorities, right now it's about 20.5%. That's a greater percentage than the private sector has in its leadership ranks, but it's still, you know, candidly not good enough. It doesn't reflect the diversity of our nation, and it doesn't reflect the diversity of the workforce. We've seen some efforts take place that are really important. One thing that we highlight in the report is that USDA, they have signed memorandums of agreement with 15 different affinity groups, most of them comprised of minorities and women in the government. And when the department recruits for its candidate development program, the program that, you know, helps develop people for the senior executive service or a senior executive position, it sends the groups a link to the application and encourages their members to apply. That's really a very easy thing to do. And what USDA has seen is between fiscal year 2010 and fiscal year 2015, the percent of USDA's female career senior executives increased 7.3 percentage points to 36.6%, which is almost 4 points above the government-wide average. And then on the minority front, USDA's minority career senior executives increased 12 points to 35.4%, or 14.9% above the government-wide average. So there are things that agencies can do to really improve this. And again, that's just sending out a job link to affinity groups. It's not a huge overhaul. It's not something transformative. It's a real simple outreach mechanism encouraging people to apply.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg Bowman, Research Director at the Partnership for Public Service. And that raises an interesting question, because if you presuppose that the percentage of people that would be in minority classes or people that you would consider as part of an inclusion program, if the same percentage of those people are qualified for a given job as the percentage of people from the non-protected groups that are qualified, the question is, why don't they apply in the first place?
I think agencies are trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, the bottom line is these agencies are addressing really complex problems. And we know from a lot of research that you get better results when you have a diverse group of people coming up with the answers. And the types of questions that our agencies are facing right now are some of the most complex questions that are out there. You know, we're looking at how to provide national security, how to educate our kids, how to make sure everybody stays healthy. These are critical questions, and the answers aren't simple, and they're going to require a diverse workforce.
No, but my question is, if, say, take LGBT as a group, for example, if you presuppose that the same percentage of LGBT is going to be qualified for a given position as the percentage of the entire population, then the question is why that group, for example, would need to be encouraged to apply. And then they get the bigger numbers, as you pointed out, is happening in agriculture.
Yeah, we haven't done research on the topic, so I don't really know. I know there are groups out there, the Women in Public Service Project is one example out of the Wilson Center, who's really providing research on this topic, and they're, you know, specifically related to women, and providing opportunities for women to come together and understand what may be going on the gender diversity front. There's similar efforts taking place around sexual orientation, around racial and ethnic diversity. It's something, candidly, we haven't looked at much.
I mean, it could be, this is pure speculation, that those people might have an expectation, well, because I'm in this group or that group, they're not going to hire me anyway, that they self-select themselves out, whereas what the government needs to do is make sure that they self-select themselves in to at least the application process.
Right. So you want to make sure that there's a lot of role models of individuals in leadership positions who, you know, represent the population that they, you know, of the nation, that they, you know, you have racially and ethnic diversity in the leadership ranks, you have gender diversity, you have sexual orientation diversity, you have veterans, you really have all different elements of society in the leadership ranks. And we do see a lot of agencies embracing mentoring programs, and we find that mentoring programs are beneficial to both the mentor and the mentee, and they're a relatively low-cost way to inspire individuals to the types of positions they can move into.
And just to get back to the question of whether people perceive their agencies to be fair and inclusive, that may not exactly match whether an agency is totally fair and inclusive.
Well, so there aren't questions on the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey about that specifically. What we do have, though, is breakdowns of the data by different racial and ethnic groups. So we have, for the best places to work in the federal government rankings, you know, which we do with Deloitte every year, we break down the data by specific demographic groups. We look at it for women and for men. We see that women are actually a little bit more satisfied than men. We look at those under 40 and over 40, and we see that those 40 and over are a little more satisfied than those under 40. We look at different racial and ethnic groups. We look at employees with disabilities, who we've actually seen to be, that actually went up 1.3 points between 2014 and 2015, and is higher than the government-wide average. Similarly, with veterans, we see that that also went up. This was the first year for which the partnership got LGBT data. It was their best places score of individuals who identified as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender was 57.7%. And it'll, you know, hopefully we'll get those data again this year and compare 2015 to 2016.
Well, we'll have to watch and see what happens. Mallory Barg-Bowman is Research Director at the Partnership for Public Service. Thanks so much for that insight.
All right. Thanks very much, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.